This is Anthony D'Amato. I'm going to play a song called Good and Ready. Let me die in a heartbeat, not slow and steady. Let me die in my sleep when I'm good and ready. Let me die on the ocean, you could bury me at sea. Let me die on a cold chain. Die in the desert in a sea of sand. Let me die in the pleasure of a one-night stand. Let me die in the forest with the first spring thaw. Let me die in the chorus with the hallelujah. 'Cause I don't wanna wake up losing altitude. I don't wanna wake up. Let me die in my new suit, I wanna look my best. Let me die, baby, real soon, I could use the rest. Let me die in a bar fight with a broken nose. Let me die in the spotlight, you could pick my clothes. 'Cause I don't wanna wake up losing altitude. I don't wanna wake up. Trumpets sound, they're gonna lay me down, they're gonna lay me down in a long white gown, in a long white gown, and slowly lower me underground. Let me die on a Sunday for to stay out of hell. Let me die on the subway, could they even tell? Let me die when the war ends, paint my face. Let me die in New Orleans, I wanna march with them saints. 'Cause I don't wanna wake up losing attitude. I don't wanna.
Anthony D'Amato, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Let's start with that song. Let's talk about that a little bit. The where did that one start? Like what was the lyric that wouldn't get out of your head that you needed to write down?
It was the first lines of it. Let me die in a heartbeat, not slow and steady. Let me die in my sleep when I'm good and ready. And you know, I was thinking, 'cause I had a conversation with someone about, you know, the way they wanted to die. They didn't want to be in a hospital. They didn't want to be like a drawn out thing. And so I started thinking about that line. And then
it kind of spiraled a little bit out of control from there as I was thinking about all these other different ways. And it, you know, it became this song where it's depending on how you listen to it, it's either this very sweet, sentimental love song of like, I don't want to go on without you, or it's a very dark, depressed, like, I can't go on without you. And I found that people hear it both ways. And I got asked one time if I would play it at this couple's wedding, which kind of blew my mind a little bit. So this song has the phrase, let me die, like a dozen times in it. You want me to stand up there and play this at your wedding? But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, like I said, kind of depending on where you come to it, it can be a totally different song. And that's why I think it's kind of connected with people.
Yeah. And I, like listening to it, I'm hearing it as sort of, I'm hearing a defiance in it.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, it's very, very, very Dylan Thomas, like, do not go gentle, uh-huh. You know?
Yeah, there's absolutely that to it.
So your album, The Shipwreck from the Shore,
mm-hmm.
Tell me about that title. It's really evocative. What did you, where did you pull that image from?
It's from a line that's in the first song on the record. That song's called Was a Time. And the idea for me of that image was thinking about, you know, looking back on a period of turmoil or difficulty from a place of relative safety where you can sort of take stock of things. So, you know, I was thinking about this image of you've made it onto the shore, you know, shake the water off yourself, you look back and you can watch the last of the ship going under out at sea. And, you know, at that point, you know you've made it. So you can start to think about, you know, what are the good things that have come out of this experience? What have I learned for, you know, next time I'm out on the water? And so that was kind of the image that comes up in that song.
Well, can we hear that?
Absolutely. This is called Was a Time. There was a time when I could weather the raging of the storm. There was a time when I could gather the roses from the thorns. Oh, time when I was certain, time when I was sure. There was a time that I loved you, I don't love you anymore. There was a time when every kiss was haunted by your ghost. There was a time when happiness was but a moment at the most. Oh, time when I could see back from the shore. There was a time that I loved you, I don't love you anymore. There was a time when I could scare you the highest city wall. There was time when I could wail, Jericho would fall. Oh, time when I could stand and face the tiger's roar. There was a time that I loved you, I don't love you anymore. There was a time when I would scatter my seeds across the ground. There was a time when I would harvest any single thing I found. Oh, time when I was lonesome, time when I was bored. There was a time that I loved you, I don't love you anymore. There are times I must confess, so I wish we'd never met. There are times when I feel blessed off to get to love again. Now it's time I let rest the man I was before. There was a time that I loved you, I don't love you anymore. There was a time that I loved you, I don't love you anymore. There was a time that I loved you, I don't love you anymore. There was a time that I loved you, I don't love you anymore. We'll be right back.
Anthony, that was excellent. Thank you so much. Yeah. So your early work was marked by a sort of this DIY aspect, recording kind of like what we're doing now with the single microphone.
Yeah, I had one microphone. I had a beat up old laptop, and I made my first record like that in my dorm room in college, and my second record in my bedroom in New York.
Yeah, but for this most recent record, your recording situation got a little bit of an upgrade. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I got to go work with Sam Kassir, who's one of my favorite producers. He was this guy who his name just kept turning up in the credits of all these albums I loved, from Josh Ritter and Langhorne Slim and David Wax Museum. So I reached out to Sam just kind of out of the blue. I sent him an email from his website and sent him some demos, and he really liked the music, and we got to talking, and we ended up making the record. He has this studio called the Great North Sound Society, which is this old, like, 1700s farmhouse up in Maine that he's completely converted into this amazing studio space. And it's way out in the woods. There's no cell service. There's no internet. All you can do is record and cook food. So we did the whole thing in about 11 days up there, and we put together a band that had Matt McCon from Bon Iver played drums, and Brad Cook from Megaphone played bass, and Gabriel Gordon from Natalie Merchant's band played guitar.
Wow. That's kind of a rogues gallery of really talented musicians.
Yeah, we got some amazing folks. And the fun thing about it was that, when we all kind of got together in the studio, they'd heard the demos, which were just me and an acoustic guitar. So everyone kind of heard the songs differently. And, Matt might hear the song as like, oh, I thought there was going to be like kind of a punk direction to it. Or, Brad was thinking like Motown, or, Sam was thinking, something completely different. And so we just sit down for like an hour and just talk about all the directions the song could go, and, how we could combine different ideas and different styles into the same track. And, it was really, it pushed me way beyond where I would have gone just by myself.
Yeah. Tell me about has that collaboration, has that changed the way that you approach songwriting or recording those songs?
One of the reasons I wanted to work with Sam was that I knew exactly how the record would sound if I did it myself at home again, because I'd done that twice before. So for me, I wanted to kind of expand the palette of sounds that I had at my disposal, and I also wanted to... I think prior to that, I'd been a bit of a control freak about my recordings, and I wanted to, open myself up to that. So, certainly it's made me more comfortable just collaborating with other people and showing songs before they're completely finished and kind of working them out with the band now. And, I've got a group of guys in New York that I play with, regularly, and when I can take the band on the road, it'll be most of those guys. And, so now I'm much more comfortable bringing them songs in process, and, we start to play them in the rehearsal space before I have an arrangement in my head, and we start to work out the arrangement there. And it's the same sort of thing. Everybody brings their own musical history to it, and sometimes I still have to be the control freak about it, but lots of stuff comes up in that process that wouldn't have otherwise. And I think opening myself up to that was a really good move for me.
Well, let's talk about your musical history a little bit.
Sure.
Tell me about who were you listening to before you hit record on that first record?
I was raised in New Jersey on a pretty steady diet of Bruce Springsteen, but I was also really a big fan of Neil Young and Leonard Cohen and Bob Dylan, and then younger guys like Joe Pug and Josh Ritter. I'm a big lyrics person, and people who are able to tell really evocative stories or paint these really vivid scenes are kind of the songwriters that I'm most drawn to.
Are there any records in your collection that might surprise folks, hearing what you play? I go back to thinking about like John Darnielle of the Mountain Goats, uh-huh. Who's like a huge metal fan.
Yeah, yeah. My roommates were really surprised to come home and find me listening to Yeezus. But again,
Kanye West.
Yeah, the Kanye West record. I'm a lyrics person all the way, and there's some brilliant turns of phrase on that record. Even though it's completely different musically than what I make, I can appreciate, the lyrics. I'm really drilled down into the words, and he does some amazing stuff.
Tell me about some of your early songwriting, the maybe like your approach to songwriting on your first record as opposed to the next record that you're gonna do.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think over the years, at least since that very first record, I've
and when was that, by the way?
The first record I did was in, it came out in 2010.
Wow. Okay.
And that was, you know, I'd been writing songs before that too, and working on doing demos in my bedroom, but that was the first thing that I kind of properly released. And when I was at school, when I was studying, there was this professor there named Paul Muldoon, who's a Pulitzer Prize winning poet. He's the poetry editor of The New Yorker, but he's also a huge rock music fan. He wrote lyrics for Warren Zevon. And so I got to, you know, I proposed this basically like an independent study where I would bring him songs that I was working on, and we'd talk about the lyrics. And from him, I think I really picked up a sense of, you know, how every word and every image needs to count, and, you know, that there need to be these kind of conceptual threads tying everything together. And, you know, I think before that, I kind of, you know, I was happy just to make songs that I thought sounded good. And, you know, I think as I progress further and further, I get more and more interested in songs that that you can really, like, spend a lot of time with. And, you know, maybe it means something to you the first time you listen to it, but, you know, maybe a year later you're listening to it and you realize that there's this other, like, underlying thread going through it, and it could be interpreted totally differently. And those are some of my favorite songs where it... you know, it means something on the surface, but then if you kind of step back and see it, the bigger picture, there's another story to be told.
Sure. Well, you want to do another one for us?
Sure. This is called Ludlow. First the whisper, then the shout. First the temple, then the doubt. First the angel spreads her wings. And shadow covers everything. I wanna tell you, don't know how. I mouth the words, but they won't come out. I've been a liar, I've been alone. I've been a stranger in my own damn home. First the captive, then the god. First the artist, then the art. First the fruit fell from the tree, then the pain, the ecstasy. I wanna tell you, but I don't know how. I mouth the words, but they won't come out. I've been a liar, I've been alone. I've been a stranger in my own damn home. First the ark and then the flood. First the brother, then the blood. First the last and last the first. Then the righteous know their worth. I wanna tell you, don't know how. I mouth the words, but they won't come out. I've been a liar, I've been alone. I've been a stranger in my own damn home.
Anthony Diamato, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
today.
You so much for yeah. having me.
I mean, you say you're a lyrics guy, but that was some really beautiful guitar work.
Oh, thank you. So much. I appreciate that.